In this episode with Jessica Schiller Silverman, the creator of MoZen Wellness, we are discussing good physical, mental, and emotional health practices for 2020. Jessica tells her story of how she went from depression and overwhelm to rocking an online business and feeling completely healthy and in control of her life and her emotions. We discuss healthy living as well as healthy business practices. So without further ado, here is my interview with Jessica Schiller Silverman. Hello, and welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and I'm super excited about my guest today. Her name is Jessica Silverman, and she is a coach who coaches clients through business and lifestyle, and we're going to talk about all the really cool things that she teaches today. So help me welcome Jessica Schiller Silverman. How are you doing, Jessica?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for the warm welcome, Monica.
Yeah. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Sure. So I am currently located here in Boca Raton, Florida. I'm actually born and raised in Florida, but I'll take you guys sort of around the United States to see kind of the evolution of my lifestyle and my business and how that all came to fruition. My husband and I actually just moved back here in April. Before that, I lived for 4 years in the Bay Area of San Francisco out in California, so out on the West Coast. It was always my dream to live in California, to live on the West Coast, kind of growing up here on the East Coast. It's always hot and humid here in Florida. So I was very attracted to the majesty of California and obviously nature and all of its beauty. You know, you've got mountains, you've got beaches, you've got venture capital. I mean, it's just there's so much going on and so many ideas and creativity bubbling in the Bay Area. But before that, I spent 6 years in Chicago, which is where I met my husband about 6 or 7 years ago. And really why I'm explaining all of this is what led me to all of these different places. And then back home, was I was really trying to find myself. I always felt like a misfit, you know, kind of a miss and sort of outside of my own skin most of my life. And growing up, I was very much a questioning soul. And of course, always bugging my parents. And then growing up, you know, in education and school and friends, just wondering in my mind, you know, is this all that life's about? You know, we go to work for, you know, 9 to 5, and then we wait for these 2 days on the weekend that go by really, really fast. And maybe we get a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks vacation, but we're always looking for something. Instead of having the something in the everyday. And that's why, you know, I spent 15 years in corporate finance, many different roles in finance, banking, venture capital, corporate finance, just again, that same feeling of feeling out of my own skin, maybe as a childhood that was connecting with other kids in school. Then, right, in the working world, it was just always feeling out of place and outside of my own skin. And thought very much that, well, maybe I'm just an introvert, right? I heard that term and, you know, maybe I just don't fit in with a lot of people. But as I've grown and evolved, I learned that it's not really me. It just wasn't the right fit. Corporate finance world and the structure of living inside a box, so to speak, just really didn't resonate with me. And, you know, speaking of my family, when I met my husband, I was at a very successful place in my career. I was making 6 figures, but he experienced this when we first met, this great sense of, I used to get panic attacks, always being anxious and very depressed. I couldn't get out of bed most mornings and even on the weekend because that habit, you know, was sort of ingrained within me. The fact that I just didn't have any motivation to live because I was like, this is not life. And I always felt that within me and it just sort of kept me at bay. And I remember my husband, then boyfriend at the time, telling me, he's like, I just want to see you happy. And I collect artwork because I'm very big on, you know, obviously attraction and energy. And in my travels to the San Francisco Bay Area many times for my previous job as an auditor, I was also an auditor, I had artwork all around my room of the Bay Area. And when he said that to me, I just sort of looked up and it dawned on me that California was calling. And so that was sort of what brought us there. We had known each other for only a few months. We lived together for maybe 6 at that time. And I said, let's do it. You know, it was about this time of year, actually, right before Thanksgiving. And I said, let's just go all in. You know, who cares if we don't have a job? And yeah, it's the most expensive place to live in the United States, but you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And just being that sort of free spirit within me, that questioning soul, like, why not? Like, if I already don't take the chance and I've already limited myself. And thankfully, he's very supportive. You know, I'm blessed to to have him. My family always thinks I'm nuts, but I'm used to it. You know, my mother always said, you're going to do what you're going to do no matter what I say. But you've always advanced yourself. People think I'm crazy, but they've always seen the progress, you know, on the other side. So that's what brought us to California. Initially, like I said, I worked in venture capital, funding other people's dreams. So worked with all the big tech gurus, you know, of Google and Facebook and Apple and all of the Silicon Valley giants. And I just thought to myself every day at my desk, you know, I'm funding other people's dreams. Time to fund mine. And actually podcasting is what was the catalyst for me. I spent an hour and a half in the car commuting every single day, one way. So 3 hours a day, listen to tons of podcasts. And that's right about, it's about 4 or 5 years ago when this evolution of entrepreneurs was coming about and just having that spirit living in the Bay Area. I remember hearing, and I don't know who it was, but this is just what really, really sparked within me. She said, you can take a chance and dive into the complete unknown, quit your job, whatever that big risk is for you, but you can always go back, right? But you don't know what lies on the other side. And I thought to myself, yeah, I have a bachelor's, I have a master's, I've worked in corporate finance for 15 years. Hey, I can try this out for a few months, 6 months, a year, take a sabbatical. And if it doesn't work out, I can always go back. I have the education, I have the knowledge and the expertise, but thankfully I haven't had to go back there. And that was really the start of my entrepreneurial path. Wellness is very much passionate to me because in that spirit of finding myself, I lost myself physically as well. So at my highest was 80, 90 pounds overweight. As I told you, anxious, depressed, just completely fallen apart, not really knowing who I am. Luckily, wasn't into any other further addictions like drugs or alcohol, but food is very much an addiction. And I always say it's the addiction that we wear because other people know, right? So alcohol and drugs is sort of silent. You can keep that to yourself. And so it was something I was always embarrassed about and thought, you know what, that's step one. Before I want to help others, I must help myself. And so went on this journey. Of course, at the same time, we were getting married. So wanted to lose the wedding weight as well. That was good motivation. Started as a wellness coach and found in my sharing my story on social media, a lot of women came to me and said, how did you do this? How did you step away? And what was the mindset around that? And how did you work through it? And how did you build this business? You know, your technology and your systems and social media. And that's how I sort of morphed the two into a lifestyle entrepreneurship brand.
What a cool story. So the name of your coaching company is called MoZen Wellness. Did I say that right?
MoZen. Yes, perfect. MoZen.
Can you tell us what that means and what you do?
Yes. So MoZen is actually obviously a play on Zen, but it's a biblical term, which means the scales. So sustainability and balanced was sort of my first branding. If you go on Facebook, you'll see my business page still says MoZen Wellness - sustainable and balanced, mainly driven out of the pain inside me that I felt completely out of alignment. And so that was the spirit of my initial branding and the spirit of MoZen Wellness. And I always kept that. It's funny because I had a coach when I first started who said, you really want to brand yourself as your name. And I was in the process of getting married. And so I said, well, is it Jessica Schiller? Is it Jessica Silverman? Is it Jessica Schiller Silverman? And I thought, you know what? I love the spirit of MoZen Wellness because it's always a good conversation starter, right? Every podcast I'm on or I'll tell someone about my business or they find me on social, they're like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And then I can kind of tell them my story of how I started my business, how I've evolved. A lot of my courses, you do see my brand name, but I still wanted to keep MoZen Wellness sort of as a reminder of where I came from and how I started this journey.
I love that. So when you pull up your website, you see really big lettering, freedom to flow. Tell us what you mean by freedom to flow.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm actually in the spirit of relaunching that program right now. And I was thinking about that because I knew that you and I had talked previously. And I said, well, it actually has two meanings, right? First was the initial meaning for the course that I created, which is called the Freedom and Flow Collective, which is to find freedom within the work that you do, whatever creative you are, right? And I've had students that are dancers, artists, painters, writers, coaches, anyone that's really a creative, to be able to work from a space of flow continuously, because when you're not working in flow, it's forced, right? And when it's forced, it's not real, it's not authentic, right? And that's what I did in my corporate past. So it's really the freedom to work from a space of flow, to always be in alignment with your true self and really the energetic flow. But then it also has a dual-sided meaning, which is why I love so much that I created this sort of out of a divine download from spirit. And it just sort of has multifaceted meanings within it. But it also means to find freedom within your work to generate flow, right? So we think of the financial piece of flow, because so many of us feel that, right? And it's part of the human experience that you have to work hard to make money, right? And you can't, and giving that up means giving up what? Freedom, right? Freedom of time, freedom to be with family, freedom to travel, because you've got to pay the bills, right? That type of a mindset. And so a lot of my work is really centered on showing women that that's just a story. And I'm living proof of that, that, you know, you absolutely can work less and actually make more money. It just depends on how you set up your business and how energetically you are aligned to everything that you offer.
I love that. So you talk about the three components that made you successful. I thought we could talk about each one of these in turn. So you first mentioned clean eating and proper nutrition. This looks different for everyone. So tell us what it looks like for you.
So clean eating and nutrition for me, I think, is very different than what people traditionally think about. Like, you think about perimeter of the grocery store, right? And eating fruits and vegetables, or going to Whole Foods Market. And yes, that is very much a part of my journey. But again, Mo Zen Wellness is about balance. So to me, clean eating means, again, being true to who I am and what I enjoy, right? So what I mean by that, I love sugar. You know, I grew up, my father owned an ice cream store growing up, and I will never give up that love, right? Not to say that there's anything wrong with any other diets or programs like keto or paleo, but to me, clean eating means not restricting yourself. Truly, you know, I'm all about finding freedom. So it's finding freedom in your choices. And something that I always say when it comes to clean eating is it's really not about the food. It's about the choices and the mindset that drives you to that, right? So to me, clean eating is also having a clean mind and really being focused and aware of all of your choices and just feeling confident and grounded in that. You know, if you want the cookie, have the cookie. That can still be considered clean eating within moderation, because that's just part of the human experience, you know, is to enjoy life and enjoy all the indulgences. But then knowing, okay, tomorrow I'm going to go make that trip to Whole Foods and fill my fridge with the rainbow, you know, all the fruits and vegetables.
I love that. I love that. So the second thing you talk about is daily movement. What's your favorite way to move?
Probably, and this changes, and that's why I paused initially, because I was an avid runner years ago when I lived in Chicago. Actually just celebrated the 6 year. So 2000, it was the year I met my husband. A few months prior, I finished the Chicago Marathon. And at that point was in the height of my physical shape, and said, I'm going to run all 5 world majors, because Chicago is one of them. So Berlin and Tokyo, and was going to try to keep up running at least 10 miles every weekend. Well, needless to say, 6 years later, that's not a reality. Life sort of kicked in, and running is a lot of commitment if you're going to be a career runner. So I do still run as a passion, but now it's more of the 1 to 2 miles. May sign up for a race occasionally here and there. But really, if I could pick my number, actually twofold. Walking is actually my favorite form of movement. I love just being in nature, hiking. I don't get that as much here as I do in California, just because I'm not up in the hills and don't have as many hiking trails. But here in Florida, I'm blessed to have the beach. So I do like going for strolls on the beach or just finding some local nature trails around here. And yoga, because yoga always reminds me to slow down. I'm more sort of into the more of the yin style of yoga, because being an entrepreneur can be very energetically draining. It's just always a divine reminder to me to just get still and to stop and to not feel like I always have to be moving to be successful, but that actually taking a pause can be even more beneficial for my well-being.
I love that. So the third and probably the least talked about by guests on my podcast, but nonetheless important, is your mindfulness practice. How do you practice daily mindfulness?
So I start my morning, every morning, with mindfulness. And it's funny that you asked that, because when I first started this journey, again, that corporate mindset was that I had to have this practice of doing the same thing every day or else I was a failure. And so that was meditation. Not to say that I don't meditate every morning, but I don't pressure myself. I always try to think of what is an activity that I can do for, let's say I only have 5, 10, 15 minutes, maybe a half hour. I personally spend an hour, but maybe for your listeners that don't have the time, to think about something that is just going to enable you to completely disconnect from your devices and tune inward. So maybe that's a meditation. Maybe it's tapping. Maybe it's yoga. Maybe it's going for a walk, reading a book, right? An actual physical book. Because again, if you open a Kindle or your device, right? I don't know about you or your listeners, but I get lost. Notifications are popping through. And, you know, even the meditation app on my phone, that can lead me down the rabbit hole. So something that, you know, reading has actually been my number one right now in terms of just being mindful and tuning into something that interests me. And, you know, even watching a funny show in the morning or a talk show, that can be mindfulness too. I know TV gets a bad rap, but it allows my mind to kind of disconnect from all of the anxiety and worries of the day. And I think that's truly the spirit of being mindful. It's just tuning into what truly lights you up inside and giving yourself the grace and space to do that without guilt, without shame, because I did that for so many years of my life. Now I'm at a place that I'm able to gift that to myself every day without guilt. And it's truly benefited me in the long run.
That's a great point. So when you're coaching your clients, what are the most common themes or topics you find that people need coaching around?
So business coaching, number one, that is what most women come to me for now. So really what I mean by that is learning systems, right? So how do you find freedom in your craft, right? To be your creative is to allow yourself, and boundaries come into this as well. So from a business perspective, it's setting up systems that give you the time freedom and the energy freedom to do things you love. So everything is kind of working in the background while you could still be creative, whether that's writing a book, whether that's even going to a dance class, right? Anything that allows you to kind of move your body or mind to be creative. And then twofold is from the soul perspective. So, and I say that because a lot of my clients come to me for entrepreneurial advice, but then they can't even take that first step. Right? So I'll teach them a systems and I'll teach them, but then they get so overwhelmed with everything that has to be done because something as simple as creating a course, there's 5,000 steps that go into that. And even just creating like that initial invitation page, well, then you need graphics and then you need links and right, all these things have micro steps within them, right? And so that's a lot of the work that I do is helping women with the emotional aspects of entrepreneurship, because I think that being an entrepreneur has taught me more about myself than any other experience in my life. It allows you to kind of move through a lot of those painful issues that you probably wouldn't go through in everyday life if you were just going through the motions, but it's really a beautiful, beautiful experience.
Yeah. So if you're familiar with me and this podcast, you know, we love to talk about marriage around here. So as an entrepreneur who is married to an entrepreneur and have many friends that are entrepreneurs, when you're coaching new entrepreneurs whose spouses aren't quite as supportive as they would like them to be, how do you work through that challenge with them? Because it's really hard to be successful and follow your dreams and your passion when your spouse isn't super supportive.
Absolutely. And I've had this conversation many times with potential clients, with existing clients, typically always centered around money. Like, oh, my husband thinks this is a passion project, right? And until I actually make money, and I'm able to prove that success, you know, he's not very supportive. You know, I personally have been blessed that from day one, before I even made a dollar, my husband was the one who told me to step away. Because he said, if anyone can do it, I know you can. Like, you ran a marathon. When I was a kid, I couldn't even run a mile without being out of breath. So it's a lot, you know, of mindset. And of course, having that tenacity to keep going when you don't even see, right, how it's all going to work out. But as far as guiding someone else that doesn't have that support, I always say, and this goes for being an entrepreneur as well, is to help that other person see the value when the value isn't there, right? So the money isn't there, but there's energetic value that comes before that, right? So it's the example that you set. I don't have children, but being an entrepreneur is showing an example to your children, you know, inspiring others. Whatever the work that you do as a creative, it's bringing your gifts and your talent to the world. So I would just present yourself to your spouse or whoever it is that you're looking for support, and just helping guide them to show them the value of everything that you do, right? And how you can touch lives. And obviously, if it puts a financial strain on the family, well, maybe get a part-time job. You know, I'm never opposed to that. And to show your spouse that, yes, you're really serious about this, that, you know, I'm going to bring in some income. And then on the side, I'm going to give it everything that I've got. You know, so many women, I think, and entrepreneurs in general, think that it's got to be an all-in thing like I did. Absolutely not. You know, it doesn't have to be that difficult. Even if you spend 30 minutes, and actually a lot of my clients start from corporate and slowly ramp up their business. And I don't tell them to step away until they're ready, you know, because people have got bills to pay, you've got obligations, you have family and fulfillment. So do it in a way that fits within the structure of your personal life and your family life, and not to be afraid to consistently to preach, you know, what you do. And to help that other person see the value. And I think if somebody really loves you and supports you as a person, they will absolutely see that love and support on the entrepreneurial side.
For sure, for sure. How do you think success of your entrepreneurs is affected by their levels of stress and overwhelm?
Well, that's directly correlated, which is why I said earlier, the number one problem that I see with entrepreneurs is stress, right? Which is caused by overwhelm. And that even goes with success. You know, if you're trying to do, and it's funny, I'm working with my client on this right now because she's taken a step back and finally realized that she's trying to do too many things to set up the foundation of her business at once. And she has an autoimmune disorder. And so that's causing that emotional, right, stress of being overwhelmed is then transpiring in her physical body. And then she has this bouts where she's got to completely shut down and then has to, right? And then it's a constant cycle of burnout, high energy, burnout, high energy. You know, I myself was the same when I started. And so that is directly correlated. And that's why I always say the best approach may not be the all in, right? That all or nothing mentality, but to truly take things one step at a time. Because if you think about it, you can physically only do one thing at one time, right? Even if you have, like me, or I used to at least, I'm much better about this now, but 30 tabs open on your computer, can you actually be in all 30 tabs at once? No. So I think it's just a good mindset and sort of a simple example to just take life one tab at a time, right? Take anything that you're working towards one tab at a time. And I think that helps, number one, alleviate the mental stress and then the physical stress that transpires from the mindset around it.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to start saying that to myself. One tab at a time, Monica, one tab at a time.
Easier said than done.
But. Right. Okay. Of course. How do you coach your clients through the fear of failure?
So I actually inspire my clients to fail because I tell them failure is your greatest teacher because immediately you know this doesn't work, right? Not that we want to fail. Of course, nobody wants to fail, but failure to someone could be, hey, I just posted this offer on social media and crickets. Well, great. That's a good indication that something isn't working. And it may not even be your content. Maybe it's the time of day. Maybe it's the communities, right, that you're hanging around. That's not in alignment. So it's just a direct, I think, sign from the universe or from the social media world as to what's not working. And then you can try something else, you know? And I like to think about this life of entrepreneurship. You know, a lot of it is a great big giant experiment, you know, and you can study all the great masters of the world. But if you listen to all their stories, and I spend a lot of time studying others that I strive to be like, what's made them successful is not knowing the five-step plan. It's trying everything they can to figure out what that five-step plan is and then teaching it in their own way, right? Because if you think about it, a lot of people are saying the same thing, but in their own way, right? With their own story and putting their own unique footprint on it all. And so I think you want to fail because that is your greatest teacher to what to do next, right? It teaches you that that's just not working and that's okay. Because otherwise you wouldn't know. If everything was smooth, you would have no idea if it was working or not.
Yeah, I love that. Failure is your biggest teacher. What about dealing with negative criticism or people that don't understand the value of what you are putting out into the world? Because there will always be haters. And I used to ask my guests about this all the time, my really successful guests. I always ask them, how do you deal with criticism? How do you deal with haters?
So that's a really good question. And actually, it's funny. I dealt with a lot of this when I first started sharing my story on social media, more from the perspective of losing weight. And I'll share with you why and how, but I was posting photos and I think it was like a before and after and everybody was at first was inspired. Oh, wow. That's amazing. Look at the difference. It just took one hater to change the entire, at this point, there was maybe 200 messages in response, one hater to change the entire tone of the conversation. Well, I looked back at your photos on social media and I see that's not you. Those are fake photos. There's airbrushed. I can tell you 1000% they're not. You know, I wish they were and I didn't have this problem, but absolutely not. But I just thought it was ironic how it took one negative person to taint the entire conversation. And why I'm bringing this all in is because I actually haven't experienced that, you know, in years because I hang out in different groups, right? And again, that failure was a reminder to me that I'm not talking to the right people. And so when my clients come to me, and it's funny because just before our conversation today, I had my client tell me she did a presentation at work that was based on a presentation she was working on her business for her course offering. And she had a gentleman in the audience ask her a question that she sensed was like negative and had a lot of hesitation or kind of that questioning mind, like, I don't believe in this hocus pocus or all this positivity that you're talking about. And this is exactly what I shared with her. And I said, whenever you come from a position of positivity, you will always have haters because it will always trigger somebody else that is coming from a position of pain and doesn't see right? That positivity. So number one, it's a matter of just helping them see that which they need to see, blessing that person, because obviously they're going through pain and it has nothing to do with you and everything about the other person. And something else I always tell my clients is that you can never say the wrong thing to the right person. So again, aligning yourself with like souls, right? People that speak your soul language, that's helps mitigate the haters. But if you have a hater around you, that just means it's not your people, right? They're not the people that you're here to help. And you really don't want to help everybody, right? Because not everybody needs you. First of all, somebody has to want the help to be able to even receive the help. So I think that's just a really good way to think about it.
Yeah. You said a couple of things that are really important. And one of them I learned myself recently, well, not super recently, but when I started my podcast and then I was told about how important it is to share things in Facebook groups, I kind of went and I joined a whole bunch of mommy Facebook groups because our podcast was mainly speaking to moms. And so I joined all these mommy Facebook groups and I shared a little bit about my podcast and what I was doing. And most of them received it really well. Like, oh, this sounds great. Oh, this is awesome. Like, you know, thanks for sharing all of those things. And this one group, I will never forget. And I just would copy and paste it. So it was the same post in every single group. And so I pasted it into this group and almost immediately it was like, this is ridiculous. But this is a sham, bunch of BS, all this stuff, like all these people. And I was like, whoa, that's the wrong group. I don't want to be in that group.
Exactly. And it's typically people that they're obviously going through some pain. Either they're not as successful in their venture, so they feel the need to put you down and whatever you're offering. It's some type of trigger, right?
Yeah, it was so funny to me because I was like, oh, it was such a stark contrast. Like, oh, these groups are awesome and supportive and, you know, they like what I'm doing in this group. I'll just stay right out of this group. Like, you know, exactly. I'm like unjoined, like, you know, those people, I'm sure they have a great time doing whatever they do, but I don't want to be in their group. So, exactly. So yeah, really important what you said, you know, sometimes if you're not well received in one area, just find another place to be. Yeah. And then another thing that I love that one of my guests said was that I said, how do you deal with the haters and negative criticism? And she goes, you know what? I have come to welcome it because it gives me insight into how other people see my work. And she goes, and eventually I realized if I wasn't getting some sort of negative feedback on what I was doing, then I wasn't going big enough. I wasn't reaching enough people. And yes. I was like, yes. Oh, I love that.
Yes.
So that always gives me a gauge. Like if nobody has found anything negative with what I'm doing, I'm like, I gotta talk to more people. I gotta send this out in a wider scope. So
the whole go for no, you know, I read that book years ago and it's exactly, you know, if you're not getting any negative feedback or no one is telling you no, you obviously don't have a big enough presence, right? Because the bigger, like Oprah, she has haters. Tony Robbins has haters. Like all of the great teachers of our time all have, right, negative feedback because somebody's triggered by the good they're doing or whatever, you know, that is that they relate it to their own life. You know, and how it triggers them. So, absolutely.
And it's so important to remember that other people's reactions to you have nothing to do with you in all actuality. So if somebody loves you, that really doesn't have anything to do with you. And if somebody hates you, that also doesn't say anything about you. It says everything about them. So always good to remember. Okay. If you had the undivided attention of all the women in the entire world for just a few minutes, what is the most important thing that you, Jessica, could teach them?
How to set boundaries, because I know there's a lot of talk about self-love, you know, especially with women. By nature, we're nurturing, right? We care about everyone and everything around that, whether it's our clients as an entrepreneur, whether it's our children and our family or grandparents. We always want to be everything to everyone. I know myself and my clients go through this all the time. So if I just had 5 minutes, it would be to help women learn how to set energetic boundaries, right? How to keep the haters, right? Or the energy vampires, as they call, you know, at a minimum, or to welcome them into your world because you're here to heal, right? And to be the light and to be the example for others, to show them, right, that there is another way.
I love it. What are you working on right now that you're most excited about?
So as we alluded to earlier, we talked about the Freedom to Flow. So I'm relaunching my Freedom and Flow Collective, and I'm really, really excited about it because, again, I think that a lot of entrepreneurs know what to do, but they just don't know how to connect the dots in a way that not only serves themselves in their business, but in their personal life. You know, how do I balance time for my kids? How do I balance time to go to the gym? How do I make this less robotic and feel the need to burn the midnight oil or work 7 days a week? So when you're an entrepreneur, again, you don't have boundaries. So you've got to learn to set that within yourself. And again, that's attached to loving yourself and respecting yourself, because if you let everybody and everything else permeate your being, you have nothing left for yourself. So as an entrepreneur, you've got to constantly reserve that energy. And so that's a lot of what this experience is about. It is balancing, right, the soul connection with the business connection and turning, right, that logic and spirit and really just kind of immersing the two into how to be successful.
So fun. I'm excited for that relaunch. Yeah. Where can my listeners find you if they want to learn more or work with you?
Perfect. Yeah. So mentioning Facebook groups, I'm very active and present every single day. And I provide massive value just because I love what I do. And speaking from an entrepreneurial perspective, I always have the mindset, when you do what you love, people are naturally attracted to you and what you do. That's bit.ly/MozenWarriors. That is my free Facebook group called Alive, which is an acronym for Alignment of Love, Inspiration, Vitality, and Energy. And then if you'd like to check out, if I can share a freebie with your listeners as to that first step. So if you're sitting and listening to this call and you're all fired up, like, hey, you know, I'm working my part-time job, but I really do want to get this thing going, whatever this thing is, whether you're a healer, whether you're a coach, whether you're a dancer, it's how to find, exactly as I mentioned before, that purpose for getting out of bed every day, because I didn't feel that years ago. As I said, I was in a deep state of depression. And when you're in that state, you don't know how to help yourself. You can't get outside of it. And so it's a really simple one-page exercise with four simple questions to ask yourself that's based on the Japanese concept of ikigai, which is your reason for being or your reason for getting out of bed every day. And you can find that freebie at bit.ly/myreasonforbeing. And that'll kind of open the listeners to the world of everything else that I do. So
perfect. Well, we'll link to that in the show notes and everywhere where we can do links. So thank you so much for your time today. And
thank you, Mom. Love
what you're doing. The energy that you put into the world is amazing. And thanks for being with us on the brighter side.
I hope that episode was helpful to you. I absolutely loved chatting with Jessica. I loved her perspective and everything she shared about her journey, as well as her business and the things that she has learned along the way. So many important things to consider when we're talking about physical, mental, and emotional health. Speaking of which, we are only a couple weeks away from the Epic Health Summit, and I couldn't be more excited to share all of the knowledge I have been gaining from interviewing these incredible experts. Jessica is just one of the experts who speaks on mental health, but we talk about disconnecting from social and how that can have huge benefits for our mental and emotional health. So you're going to want to make sure that you're registered so that you get each day's presentations for free of the Epic Health Summit. And you're going to register by going to www.onthebrightersideofhealth.com. I guarantee you do not want to miss this incredible 3-day event. It starts February 4th and goes to the 6th. And there really is so much great information to be learned about health from these experts that are really from all over the world, even some in the UK, some from Spain, of course, many from America, but all over the country. So get excited about that. I also have an incredible bonus episode for you on Friday with my friend Steve Cook. Now, Steve Cook was the very first person I ever interviewed on my podcast remotely, and the audio quality was terrible. It is still, after all this time, the most downloaded episode ever. It's all about health. Steve is actually one of the coaches on the Biggest Loser season that's going on right now. So I thought, what better time than to republish his episode? I also paid a large sum of money to have the audio remastered so that it sounds better. I can't wait for you to hear this episode redone with better audio quality. Steve Cook is a hunk, but he's also an awesome guy, and I can't can't wait for you to get to know him better, as well as another presenter in the Epic Marriage Summit, Jessica Procini, who talks about emotional eating, which is a huge issue, I know, for so many of us next week. So be sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any of these incredible episodes coming up. And until next time, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.